and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Previews Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us at Batflips and Nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. There are plenty of other podcasts out there at the moment that are producing their season previews. They'll probably have much more in-depth and with more analysis than us. Here at Batflips and Nerds, we decided to do something a little bit different. So inviting British fans of the team to come onto the podcast and talk about their team. And all of it, of course, with a British twist. There's no clever order for this. It's just literally who was available at the time. So without further delay, joining me today is Dave Shaw. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, great, thanks.
If you just let us know who you're a fan of.
Big fan of Philadelphia Phillies.
Philadelphia Phillies. And we were just chatting before and you ended up sort of getting into baseball through travelling America. So if you just want to give us a little bit of a run of that then.
Yeah, so 2010, just after the Phillies won the World Series and got again to the World Series final. I was at America and got invited to go down to Citizens Bank Park for a game. At the time, I knew nothing about baseball, so it was all new to me. But I'm a big sports fan, so I thought, yeah, give it a go. And the moment I got there, I was blown away by it all. The whole experience was incredible. It was against the Brewers, in which they lost, which is quite common against the Brewers. And the experience was unbelievable. And I was hooked, went back a day later. And then since then, I go back every year and try and catch some games. And last year, I did a big tour following the Phillies around San Francisco, Arizona, Diamondbacks, and saw them in Denver against the Rockies, and then a couple of games in Citizens Bank for a few home.
So,
quite a dedicated fan.
Sounds like it. You're definitely getting around a place. So when you went to watch the Phillies and the Brewers won, didn't you think, oh, I might fancy the Brewers actually as my team?
No, because I don't know, there was something about the one, it was a full house, and it's just, I don't know, it's something about the Phillies. Even when I go to, like, last year we went to the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, it's just, it hasn't got the same feel as when you go to the Citizens Bank. There's something about that place. It's just a great place to watch baseball,
There must be quite passionate fans, especially with all that history. So we're talking like Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies, all of that East Coast type stuff. There must be quite passionate guys out there.
Yeah, Philadelphia is a town, it's a city itself, which is known for quite a hostile fans, especially in the NFL. And same with the baseball, especially when the Mets come to town or the Nationals. It's a very passionate city.
Yeah.
Very proud people. Very, very dedicated fans, very passionate fans. It's it's a great place to watch baseball.
Excellent. So you go over there and watch your baseball, but how else do you watch it then? Are you an MLB TV type man?
Yeah, MLB TV subscriber. I have it hooked up to my PlayStation, so it's every game, usually a Sunday evening. The early games, if Phillies are on early, I'll be able to have a good 4 hours watching them in the evening.
Yeah. Do you literally watch anything or just the Phillies?
Mainly just the Phillies. Except when it's the playoffs, obviously, and we're usually not involved. Then, I'll just stick on to watch the playoffs because the playoffs are fantastic and the World Series.
Is your job quite flexible then? Because I know you mentioned before you work in a place distributing car parts. Do you find that you can stay up late, watch the World Series, and then go back in the next morning and be fine?
I do it anyway.
You're that dedicated.
It's Monday to Friday. It's 8:30 till 5:30, but I can plenty of caffeine the next day and coffees.
Yeah,
keep me going.
Just to drag you through it.
But it's the same during the week. If I'm still up and the Phillies start at 12:05 our time, I'll watch an inning and then one turns to two and you get into that horrible cycle where it's like 2 o'clock and you think, no, I need to go to bed now. and the usual, every morning, wake up, first thing I do is check the results, check my fantasy baseball team, check the Phillies results, watch the highlights, have breakfast, go to work.
So
it's that routine between April and September.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get that. I certainly get a lot of criticism when I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and my wife turns over and sees me on my phone. She's like, what are you doing? So I just need to quickly watch this inning. As soon as I've watched this inning, then I'll go to bed.
Yeah.
So I get into trouble for that. So going back to the Phillies then. So what happened last season then? Can you just give us a brief synopsis of your view of it?
So last season was the start of the rebuild.
Yeah.
The long overdue rebuild, because we've been declining ever since the World Series wins in 2008. Back then we made the mistake of keeping hold of all those players, big contracts, and they've been declining and so hard to shift.
Mm.
So last year we finally, making it sound bad, we finally got rid of them. But
no, get that.
But we've freed up the wage space with Brian Howard and Chooch, who have now departed. So we've got none of the World Series players still at the team. So there's a lot of youngsters coming through.
Mm.
We had a lot of highs last year, and I think we were 17-91. We had a terrible last month, so we fell away. But we progressed massively from 2015. And hopefully it'll be more of the same this year. It's just rebuild, transition, bring in the youngsters. So we've got a lot of prospects coming through.
Yeah.
It's a very, very young team. And we've got so much potential. So much potential to come through.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. I mean, I got a quick look at your results today before coming on. And 2011 was your last winning season with 102-60, which is incredible.
Yep.
2012 was 81-80, so obviously a 500 season. Then it dropped 73-89, and then you dropped down to 63-99. It's got even worse. Yeah, but like you say, you're back on the up now, so it is definitely heading in the right direction. I mean, Pocota's got you tabbed for 74-88. We'll chat about this season in a second. But yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I sort of watch the Phillies from afar a bit. I think I do enjoy watching them, and I always love an underdog. I love watching the Phillies. I love watching the Padres, the Twins, anyone like that. I mean, it might be dreadful baseball at the time, but I just like to see an underdog win every now and then.
We had many games last year where we lost because we couldn't convert runners on base. That was our biggest problem.
Mm.
Was converting runners. Hitting, fine. We were one of the best hitters in the division, but converting them into runs was our biggest. We lost so many games by one run, two runs, where we should have won.
Yeah.
We could have possibly broke even, gone even.
Wow. That's a big shout. So another 10 gets, you need another 10 wins then to break even.
We had 10 losses where we should have won, including the first three games against the Reds at the start of the year.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of players coming through, a lot of pitcher rotation towards the end of the season. The last month was just bringing in some prospects coming through.
Yeah.
We had a lot of injuries come through as well. So it was 71-91 last year was sort of disappointing, because we could have done actually a lot better.
Yeah, I kind of get that frustration, definitely. From afar, I had one connection to the Phillies throughout the year, and that was Freddie Galvis, who was on my fantasy team. So I managed to trade for him at the start of the season. I was desperate for a shortstop and just literally had nobody. And the first half of the year, I was like, oh my word, what have I traded for here? But then all of a sudden, he started power hitting and managed to smash another 20 home runs. So at least you've got him in the place at the moment before JP Crawford comes up. So with that in mind then, what are your thoughts then for this season? What are you looking for?
81-81, 80-82 would be, third in the division would be fantastic. I think we have to start looking at that now. But we've got to hit 80 wins, another 9 on what we did last year.
Yeah.
I think is more than doable.
Yeah.
Especially with the, we had to bolster our rotation. We had to bolster our relief pitchers, who lost us a few games last year. We need certainly a closing pitcher. Garcia was one of the best closers last year, but he's still a bit of a liability.
Yeah.
And we need a big hitter somewhere. We can bring another big hitter. I know Franco got 25 home runs, Joseph got 21, but that was it. You know, there was nothing much behind.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're far away from possibly a positive season.
Yeah, I kind of get that. And just quickly jumping back to last season, the fact that you had the youngest combined pitcher's age throughout all MLB and the third youngest batter's age. And I mean, you've certainly bolstered up the rotation by signing the absolute Red Sox hero that is Clay Buchholz.
So
what was your reaction when Clay Buchholz came in? I imagine you had a little party at home, maybe
I was
put a banner up.
It's a win-win for the Phillies. because it's a one contract. So if he does flop, it's not the end of the world. But the thing is, there's a lot of options with Buchholz as well, because if he has a good year, it's great for the team. It should give us wins. And also, as well, with Buchholz getting older, it could free up a trade.
Yeah, definitely.
Some more prospects, especially definitely. If someone's in need of a good pitcher heading into the playoffs or heading into that scenario where they need a pitcher like that, and we can get some prospects back. Because Buchholz obviously isn't a long-term plan. He's a short-term fix, and he'll be brilliant for the young pitchers as well.
Yeah.
Especially Nola, Velasquez, Asher, Eichhoff, Morgan, Hellickson. It's great to have that experience with Buchholz to bring to the team.
Now, I've had first-hand experience of watching the two sides of Clay Buchholz, where he's just completely unstoppable, or the absolutely most frustrating pitcher in all the world. I don't know how he does it. It's incredible. So like you say, it will either be a complete blowout and you just bin him off and DFA him and you'll never see him again, or he'll be quite good and somebody will take a little trade bait and go for it. I'm not sure how many prospects, as in plural, you get. You may get a prospect, and I wouldn't know how high they're going to be. Just depending on what Clay's sort of form's like.
Or if it's a good year and we don't trade him, then he'll bring a few wins.
And many home runs to the opposition.
on the flip side, yeah.
Now, some of the transactions you've done, the notable ones we've already spoken about, Clay Buchholz. There's three others that I really want to talk about. So you've got Daniel Nava to the minors, Brian Holliday to the minors, and Ryan Hannigan to the minors. So essentially, you're trying to become the Boston Red Sox.
In a way. We brought in Saunders from the Blue Jays.
Yep.
Who I really rate. I really rate Saunders. And plus, I regularly have him in my fantasy team. And we've also brought in Pat Neshek from the Astros.
Yeah, I had Pat Neshek in my fantasy team last year. He was clocking up the holds to begin with and then sort of declined quite quickly. So, again, similar to Buchholz, depends which one you're going to get.
Neshek, plus he's got the unusual submarine.
I do love that. I like anything unusual.
It's just incredible to watch.
Yeah, I do like that.
And we've got the 39-year-old Benoit as well. Again, it's experience for the youngsters in there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what they're looking for, really, aren't they? Okay, then. So let's move on then. So who's an outside player then for the Phillies that we should be watching this year? Who isn't getting recognised?
Do you know what? I think you've mentioned him already. It's Freddie Galvis. You know what? He's one of the best shortstops in the game. Yeah. And the second half of last year, he started to find his form offensively.
Mm.
And if he continues his form from what he finished on last season, I think he'll be massive for the Phillies. And not only that, he's got Crawford after his shortstop space.
Yeah.
He's up in his game. He knows he's got a very good prospect right behind him. So I think Freddie Galvis will be the man who will break on the scene big time next year.
Well, I hope so, because in my dynasty league, I've only got him, and that's it. I've got no backup at shortstop, so it better be good.
he'll come good. I think he'll come good.
Well, I mean, he hit 20 homers last year, and Pecota, because they've slashed his plate appearances down by half with Crawford expected to come up, they're expecting to hit six, and I think that's quite a big hit, really.
Crawford meant to come up halfway through last year, and I don't think he's quite developed as the Phillies hoped.
Mm.
I know he was a top prospect. He was moved up to AAA and didn't quite go on from there last year.
Yeah.
Because a lot of fans, including myself, were hoping to see him in the Phillies team in the last year. And, you know, the noises were, it seemed like he wasn't ready.
Yeah, he was sort of hitting mid-200s, wasn't he, in AAA? He wasn't anything special that was really happening.
No, that was in the final month.
Mm.
He started very slow in the AAA. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see how he does in spring training.
Yeah. The thing is, you've got to be careful of spring training. I've certainly found in the past, especially with Wilmer Brooks for the Red Sox, the amount of times I got excited about him and he was just terrible. Seem to be saying terrible things all about the Red Sox at the moment, but we have got Chris Sale. Anyway, it's not about the Red Sox this one. So, one bold wild prediction then for this year.
Wild prediction would be the wild card.
You reckon?
as a wild, if everything clicks and the potential's there, the potential in this team is there, if it clicks, and then we'll be relying on the Nationals and the Mets having the seasons that they're not expecting as well.
Mm.
But I honestly think we can nick. You remember the Astros 2 years ago? They came from nowhere because everything clicked and they got in the playoffs. Where the season before, they were awful.
Yeah.
It happens every year. One team that you don't expect to be there, all of a sudden, find their form, click, and nick a wild card or a playoff spot. And we, if everything clicks, it could be us. That's a wild, wild prediction.
Yeah, I do like it. It's a good wild prediction. I think, if I'm honest, in the NL East, if anyone's going to do it, I think it's going to be the Braves. I think they're looking pretty strong this year, and they've got some good experience kicking around that rotation as well.
New stadium, new ground as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll be having a big push for it. Okay, let's do a bit of quick fire as we come to the end of this thing, because they're only short podcasts, these ones. So who's going to get the kebab after a 9 in the Phillies?
Cameron Rupp. You seen the size of him?
Yeah.
Big lad.
Who claimed not to have any cash during the taxi ride home?
Adibo Herrera. He seems that sort of character that can blag a free ride easy cash.
I'm going for Buchholz on that one.
You know him better than I do at the moment.
Who's staying in to watch Great British Bake Off then instead of popping out for a pint?
Probably the old guys like Nishek, Michael in our team, Ben Oitz.
I'd go with that, yeah.
That's, yeah.
And who's the nutter who's most likely to drive barefoot to Dundee?
Herrera again. He's a sort of character, doesn't he? His character is unbelievable. He's he is a character. He brings a lot of life to the dugout.
Yeah.
He's someone who's he's very animated, very emotional, he's got such charisma.
Yeah.
So he'll be the guy that would do it within a heartbeat.
I've got a friend I used to work with who always used to talk about the character-idiot divide. Now, he substituted a different word for idiot. And there's always somebody that you go, oh, he's a bit of a character, and then other people go, no, he's an idiot. And the line is so fine between somebody being a character idiot. And it just strikes me that way.
You know, I think Adibo Herrera for Phillies fans is a character, but I know that the Mets find him an idiot. And some of the opposing fans also think he's an idiot.
Excellent.
We love him at Philadelphia.
Right, is there any Twitter accounts you could recommend? Any blogs, beat writers that you'd enjoy?
Twitter accounts, Philly Nation.
Philly Nation?
Just at Philly Nation. It's sort of alternative to the Philadelphia Phillies account, but it takes you more. It's more rumours, but they're usually right, you know, the ones that the Phillies don't like to put out unless it's confirmed. But
yeah,
Philly Nation will break it first. And can I do a selfless plug on our Facebook site?
Of course you can, yeah. Phillies?
Philadelphia Phillies UK is a site which I run. We've got about 30 people, but it's like Philadelphia fans in the UK.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can pump out a few more. As you probably saw, we just tipped over 500 followers this week, so hopefully we can pump it out a bit more and get you known. But yeah, we'll wrap up there, Dave, if you're happy. So thank you all for joining us on this episode of Bat Flips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Dave for joining me. Where can they find you, Dave?
So you can find me at DaveS143 on Twitter and on the Philadelphia Phillies UK Facebook site.
Excellent. I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can find me on Twitter at PejorasFace. That's second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. You can contact the show on Twitter at BatFlips_Nerds and also on Facebook, facebook.com/BatFlipsAndNerds. Please email us, batflipsnerds@gmail.com. We do appreciate your questions and thoughts. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. So search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a rating, as it makes it easier for folks to find us on our podcast. Also, tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they are British, we welcome all sorts. So thanks again, Dave.